This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Danela. Today I am here with the incredible Paola Mendoza, an actress, a screenwriter, an author, a director, a humanist, an activist, a mother, someone I admire tremendously. I am incredibly proud of her, and more than that right now, incredibly grateful for the work that she is doing. She is one of the women responsible for bringing us the Women's March and movement. And I can't thank her enough, because I know she's really busy, for giving me this time. But I find that I wanted to speak to you before the march, but I'm so glad that we get to speak now, because I am moved. I am changed, and I want you to know that, and I want your colleagues to know, and I think there's many people feeling the same way. So that's my introduction, and I thank you, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Thank you for giving me this time, Paola.
I was just going to say I'm thrilled to be here, so thank you for taking the time out to speak with me as well.
So how are you feeling? How are you feeling now that the march has happened, that it was so amazing and magnanimous, and everything that's happened since? Even today, I'm a little frightened, especially about hearing that he plans to get rid of sanctuary cities. And I know it's one of your big causes.
Yeah. Well, those are two different feelings, right? So with regards to the march, I'm feeling euphoric. I'm feeling inspired. I'm also feeling very tired, because it was a marathon of 2 months. We got together, about 25 women, and put our hearts and souls every day into making what we thought was going to be an extraordinary moment in time. We believed, and we worked with strangers. Many of the women, the 25 women, had never even met before, before November 9th. And we just trusted each other all for the same cause, the idea that women's rights are human rights, and that we needed to make sure that that was heard very loudly and very clearly. The day of the march, as we saw people arriving, we got to the location, some of us at midnight, some of us at 3 in the morning, some of us at 5 in the morning. The first people that arrived at the location, it was like about 4:30. And by the time 10 a.m. rolled around, we were surrounded by a sea of pink, and it was a lot of gratitude that I felt at that moment. Gratitude for all of the people that came out, gratitude because they weren't going to sit by the sidelines. And what we had been saying all along, that we were organized, that we were vigilant, and that we were ready to fight, was completely true. What we didn't know at that moment, because none of our internet situation worked, our internet was a disaster, we didn't know that across the country, the amount of numbers that were also organizing. We knew of all of the sister marches that were happening, but I didn't expect that Los Angeles was going to have 750,000 people. I didn't expect that Chicago was going to have 250,000 people. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that Boston would have 150,000 people. I didn't expect that Antarctica would march, or that a little town in Alaska in negative 22 degrees would go out and march as well. So once that reality struck, it was inspiring to, and mind-boggling to, realize that we were a part of a movement that brought out 5 million people across the country.
And the world.
And the world. Yes, and the world.
Because it wasn't just here.
No, we had 45 sister marches internationally as well.
Where does this sense of duty come from for you?
I mean, initially, well, it comes from the idea of what privilege is. I came to this country, I immigrated from Colombia to this country when I was 3 years old. I came with my mom and my older brother, and very soon after we arrived, my father, who was with us, abandoned us. And so we were left with literally nothing. And we were the first members of our family to come to the United States. So we didn't have any family. My mom had a high school education and we had no money. And so we, at certain points, we were homeless. At certain points, we were on welfare. At certain points, my mom was working at a fast food restaurant, and then she got to school, to college. So, like, I've seen pretty much every facet possible to live in the United States. And now I'm a mom, and I live in New York City, and I just bought my first apartment. And so, like, I've seen the entire cycle, and the cycle continues. And so with seeing that cycle, and with now being in a place of privilege and economic privilege, to be quite honest, I feel a great responsibility, to the ones that came after me to this country as immigrants, to the ones that are here undocumented, to the ones that are living in any sort of injustice, because that's my background. Mm-hmm. That's where I come from. And so I can't forget where I come from. And so this idea that the current president is attacking the communities that are the most vulnerable and the communities that I am closest to makes me get up and fight. You know, like I had this thought the other day, which was actually just yesterday, the idea that on November 9th, we were all beat down. Mm. We had all failed.
Yeah.
We had all fallen. That's how we felt.
Yeah.
And many of us didn't know how we were going to just pick ourselves up. We had to peel ourselves off the floor and somehow continue. And 2 months later, less than 2 months later, we rose up, we stood up, we got back up, right? So the idea of it's not how you fail, but it's how you get up is present there with us since January 21st. And so I think that's the thing that we all have to focus on. Like you were saying, so it is like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
We're calling our senators, yes, very important. And the movement that wasn't started, because the movement has been here long before, but was reignited on January 21st,
mm-hmm.
is moving forward. And we are focused on making sure that the midterm elections are those that align with our values, mm-hmm. are elected.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially also in 4 years that the president that aligns with our values and the values of the majority of the American people. That's something that we have to continue to remind ourselves. We are the majority that voted against Trump. The majority of Americans voted against Trump. So in 4 years, that majority has to also win the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really admire about you is how you fuse social justice issues with your, I guess, perhaps innate need to create art. How do you do that? How have you been working along with that? And will you continue to do that now moving forward?
Yeah. So after the election on November 9th, after I peeled myself off the floor, I went through my entire phone book in my phone and called all of my friends that were artists, that were filmmakers. Most of my friends are directors and writers, some producers, some executives. And I called them, and that was a conversation that I was having with them. What do we do now? How does our art change? What do we as artists need to adjust in order to reflect the times and the dark times that we are living in? And art during darkest times is the most important light. And I spent 2.5 days having these conversations with friends. Tough conversations, and not necessarily conversations that were giving answers, but really trying to analyze where we as artists fit in. And mm-hmm. so I think my art continues. You know, I am not an organizer. That's not my day job.
Mm-hmm.
I organized this march. I became one of the national organizers, and I became the artistic director because it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But my focus moving forward, while I'll still be working with the Women's March, my focus moving forward will be the art that I'm creating. And how, precisely your question, how does the world we're living in reflect that art? And how does the art not just stay within a small group of people, but really how does my art move into a mainstream distribution platform?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I think that that's important is because I believe that art can humanize issues mm-hmm. in people. And when we humanize the immigrant, per se, it's harder to vote for someone that despises the immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to try, that's where I'm figuring out my artist puzzle is moving my art into a field where it's more consumable and more applicable to a larger audience, but not losing its artistic integrity.
Yeah. And will that involve film, or will that be a book, or all of it together? Because you know, eres multidisciplinaria, multidisciplinary.
It will definitely not be a book, that I can confirm.
Okay. I loved your book. I mean, God.
You're sweet. Thank you, but it almost killed me. I have no interest in writing a book. That's a one and done situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be working on, I have some TV shows that I'm working on that I'm developing and writing, and then definitely some film as well. So it's a mixture of both. It's a mixture of all, but it's in the media space for sure.
So some of the people that are listening to me are asking, what do they do? Like, this is the first time that many people feel that they're standing up, rising up, speaking out. What either, you know, baby steps, or what kind of steps that are, could they take to feel that they are in fact participating and not withholding themselves and not being fearful of, you know, saying this is wrong. We must fight for our lives. I think.
Right. So the incredible thing about organizing is that anyone can organize. You just have to do it. We have to remember how the Women's March started. The Women's March started, the concept started, because a woman in Hawaii, a grandmother in Hawaii, who had never organized before a day in her life, had enough. And she went on Facebook and she posted a post that saying that she was going to go march on Washington, D.C. on January 21st.
Hmm.
And from that day, that moment on November 8th, when she posted it at night after Hillary had lost, on January 21st, we had over 5 million people. The thing is that that's a very important idea for everyone that wants to get involved but doesn't know how. You just have to go out and do it. So there are various ways to go out and do it. You can organize your neighbors. You can organize your community. You can organize your school. You can organize around something that's important to you, that's currently happening. All you have to do is turn on the news at 10:30 every day. Right now, and executive orders are coming out left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you organize around, you can help raise money for organizations. You can help raise awareness for organizations. On our website, on womensmarch.com, we have all of our partners listed. We have currently over 500 partners listed. They are just listed in alphabetical order, but you can go through that list and it has links to everyone's website, and you can see the work that those partners are doing. And you can write them and say, I want to volunteer. I want to get involved. I want to do this X, Y, Z. So that's just the starting off point. Also, you can go on our website and you can sign up for our newsletter, and we will be sending out action items around what can be done. And obviously, like what you just said, Sol, you call your senators and your congressmen and women every day and tell them what's important to you. And they listen. I think it was very clear that on Sunday, January 22nd, when we received those two tweets from the president, that he heard us.
Yeah.
He saw us.
Yeah.
He knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because he knows that we're watching him. He knows that we're organized, and he knows that we're ready to fight. And I think that gives cover for the left to be a bigger opposition because they know that they are being backed up. And I also hope that that gives a little bit of cover to the right, so they're able to find the moral courage that we require them to have, and that they need to be fighting for the people and not for the party and not for the president while he does unimaginable things, inhuman things, and in some stances, illegal things. So I hope that that's what the march also does, is it allows our politicians to be braver on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for myself, I saw a tweet yesterday, some man talking about, he said that, why didn't the marchers go speak on behalf of environmental catastrophe and climate change? And, you know, I thought, God, you know, it was almost like there are so many issues, there wasn't enough space, you know. Mm-hmm. But being in the march, it seemed that everyone had so many things to stand up for. And I want to write something as a result of that, you know, and I'm working on my draft and thinking about it. Just because there's something in my being, in the gut, that, you know, I must speak up, and, you know, mm-hmm. I think everybody should find, right, their own way or whatever medium they feel more comfortable in to express that, you know, whether it's a poem, whether it's a painting, whether it's an essay. And I think for me, you know, knowing that all of you gave us this sort of wind, you know, it was like, it's a mm-hmm. blessing. And that's really, really important. And I think the last time I saw that was right after on the eve of the Iraq war, when the world also stood up against the war. And it was all dismissed. And so it's a new time, and I'm definitely, you know, I stand in solidarity, which is why I wanted to talk to you. You know, it falls better now, because I think that people are wanting to know, and to hear your voice, you know, might help other people feel better and not alone, and to stand up, you know. So I think I'm going to coin you, like I've been saying lately, I've been meeting a lot of diminutive giants. So I'll put you there. I'll put you there too.
Thanks. And I've lost a lot of weight because of this march, so I'm even smaller than before.
Oh my God.
I shouldn't say a lot for me, but I'm eating again, so it's all good.
Right. And yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about your work with immigrants. Mm-hmm. When you go and visit the immigration detention centers, how did you find yourself there? And what are some of the things you've learned from these incredible people that have given you all these stories? Do you go to bed at night, Paola, and do you like get overwhelmed?
I don't get overwhelmed in the sense that I don't know what to do, because I feel that I am doing all that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear people's stories, I'm not just going to hear them just to like research or live vicariously through them. I'm going to hear those stories because I'm trying to get those stories out to the world. So if I wasn't actively doing something with those stories, I think I would feel overwhelmed. There's definitely a lot of pain that one carries for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that at times gets difficult. But again, I have such a privileged life
mm-hmm.
that I can handle other people's pain, because I'm not living in their pain. So I think to get trotted down and beaten down is actually very selfish. Because it's not, I can choose to walk away, and I do, very openly and honestly. I go, I talk, I see, I film, I record, and then I present to the world, and I walk away from their lives. It doesn't mean that I'm not connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of texts and a lot of calls from a lot of different people around the world, but I'm not living their life, and I think that's the important thing, and the important thing to, the least arrogant way in which to look at it, too. So what I have learned in all of my, the, in the in the stories that I've heard all around the world, whether it's in refugee camps, whether it's in detention centers, whether it's in jails, juvenile detention centers here in the United States, what I do always come back to is the strength of the human spirit, is the perseverance of the human spirit. We don't know how strong we are until we are put in circumstances that force us to rise up. Mm-hmm. And I feel that that's an important lesson to recognize here. We're with Donald Trump as the president.
Mm-hmm.
That we as a country don't know our strengths. We didn't know our strength until we are confronted with a demagogue, mm-hmm. with a fascist, mm-hmm. with a man that plays in hate and mm-hmm. racism in order to gain power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back to those individuals that have inspired me with their resounding strength. And I say that, you know, each and every one of us has that strength inside of us to fight for the next 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that very beautiful statement, I'm going to leave you. And then I'll probably add a little something to this at the end. I know you're busy, and so I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart, really.
Thank you, soul. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with me.
Absolutely. Así que, a la lucha.
Abrazos, abrazos.
Abrazos.
A la lucha, mija. Te quiero mucho.
Igualmente.
Cuídate.
Abrazo.
Cuídate.
Bye.
Chao.